Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The following podcast contains mature language and adult discussions.
You know, I just caught myself. I was doing the Trump a little bit, wasn't I? When we came on, doing the little the little gimmick there. This is Click This, the Kevin Nash podcast. He's Kevin. I'm Sean. Oh, Monday morning it is. It is. WrestleMania is in the books, both nights of it. We'll cover that a little later. Are you feeling a certain emptiness that you didn't get to see Philly this year?
No.
Not a bit.
Mm-mm.
We were talking a little bit before the show, and I think you've actually said it on the air, that the heel cities, we were talking about Philly, but you said Philly was actually second to
Nassau Coliseum for
being. I would have guessed.
If you were a babyface, man, that was a... Oh. Think about it. That's like having a building full of Russos,
right? Because it's not MSG, because you don't have any of the Manhattan crowd. This is New York, but in the boroughs.
Bro, you're not over.
Take your freaking bleach blonde hair. Yeah, but what about, like, when you guys came in, when the NWO came in? I mean, you must have been, like,
but we
beyond
were
over. That's what I'm saying.
The pop
you guys must have gotten in places Philly.
Everywhere, and... That was. That's what I said. That's when you know, like, Brooklyn tried. No, they didn't. They didn't even try to fucking say, rock your heel. I mean... Yeah. So
I want to talk about the Go Home show too, because we haven't been on the air since last Monday. Let's see. Vic Vines.
But first, there's a news. Another on Prime. Another JFK document.
The 12 of you that watched last week's show. Enjoyed. You know, it's funny though. It's like we got a lot of feedback about the JFK thing, complete with other, you know, listener theories as well. But the topic was kind of over. The numbers might not have indicated it, but the people.
You know what? It's just one of those things that, And I was talking to Steve before the show, and we were both talking about Prime has, if you go to, you know, like the documentaries, there's probably 20 different things just covering the Kennedy assassination. I mean, like four times as much as any other thing you could look up.
Yeah. I mean, oh, yeah. And it's they're a varying quality, I'm sure. Some of it might be like a little bit of a shot on VHS, maybe.
Solving the Crime of the Century. Is that the one that the Australian... I watched that the other night, and that's the one where with the Secret Service guy behind them blows his brains out because of the it's definitely a ballistics person says it's definitely he was hit by two different types of ammunition. He was hit by a full metal jacket.
Is that the one JFK X?
I'm pretty sure that's it. Steve says friendly fire theory is during the solving of the Crime of the Century. So Crime of the Century on Prime. Good watch.
What the doctors
and
saw.
Only a 3.5.
No. That's got 22 ratings, so it did about as well as our JFK show last week. JFK the Smoking Gun.
Yeah, but how many times do you fucking actually sit around after a film's done and put, for me, not for me? Well, fuck off. Who cares? I'm done watching it.
Now I know. That's the thing with...
See, look at this. Hey, yeah, and I'm a dick. I'm a fucking dick because I want to talk about this shit.
JFK's women, scandals revealed.
Dark Legacy.
Dark Legacy. Who's on the cover of that one?
That's
Bush. Bush won, right?
Yeah, but it's CIA. It's the JFK.
Well,
Matt
right,
Dollar.
But it's going to be the right.
Yes,
behind it is.
Yes.
So there's the
American
CIA
Experience
theory.
JFK. The fucking Ray-Bans on Oliver Platt.
That's a PBS production. There's the film JFK.
There's the great JFK with Kevin Costner. It was a turkey shoot. All right, so that's that. We've got that covered.
There's plenty, Kev. You got a lot to go through.
Yeah. I know, I do. And once I get done with that, I'm going to try to disprove the landing on the moon, and then I'm going to completely go for probably done. Two or three seasons flat earthing. Coming up with all the reasons why there's a flat Earth.
Right. I love that. That's a thing in 2023. Well, it's been for a few years, but it kind of became a thing again in the 2020s. The whole
I just when it comes on flat Earth, it's like, okay, so we send these rockets up sometimes two a day now with satellites. Where the fuck do they go?
Or how do they orbit a
they
flat?
Don't, they don't. They would
piece
just.
Of,
They wouldn't orbit anything. You can't orbit something that's flat.
What do the flat earthers say? We got to have one on the show. I have so many questions. What do they say to the satellite photos of the sphere-like object that turns?
Just like the moon landing. It's all done. It's all CGI.
It's all fake. The photos
everything,
are fake.
Yes,
yeah,
it's all fake. Everything's fake.
Okay.
Now, them motherfuckers that got out of the Gemini, that was some pretty damn good shit.
That guy what?
Out of the Gemini craft. When they did the first moonwalk, or the first orbital walk outside of the capsule. I had that model, the Gemini capsule with the fucking tether and the fucking astronaut. I think
What are you, a model kid?
Oh.
A little bit of the tester's paint, get high on that.
Oh, fuck. I would buy like a fun, get like a funny car. I put like 10 coats of tester spray paint on that motherfucker. I'd hand paint the engine block. I mean, that shit, I would work fucking a week putting this thing together just to go across the fucking bridge to Groseal to this place called the Wishing Well and get some fireworks and put a fucking smoke bomb in the back seat, and then it would fucking smoke, and then they would catch it on fire, and then it would just burn the fucking car.
All the paint, the paint's very flammable.
Oh yeah,
So you'd spend hours and hours building it, and destroying it.
Yeah. I think I was as a young kid, I was very in tune with Jackson Pollock.
I
can't prove that. I just know it's true.
You turned your model into a Pollock, for Christ's sake, with that nice texture there. Vic Vines, hey Kev, this is some feedback from last week. Kev, just wanted to say again, I'm glad you're with us and doing podcasting and giving us your honest opinion on things. Sean, thanks for weekly podcasts and the hard work it takes to do this. Well, it takes a village, for God's sakes. Mike M., watching The Rock's beatdown of Cody and him saying the words, "Look at you now," for me is a tribute to Scott Hall. Rock was a fan of Razor's work while he was breaking in Memphis. True?
Yeah, that's what Rock said.
Okay.
But then again, who wasn't?
Yeah, sure. It's not a very controversial statement to say that.
It's not like putting yourself out there.
Right.
Got one of the fucking absolute best ever. Fucking, I kind of dug their shit. Yeah, so did everybody else.
When he first came in, Nation of Domination Rock, right? When before kind of found his footing, the Rocky sucks chant and all that. What year are we talking with that? Were you there? I can't remember anything on my mind.
I was gone when the Nation was when everything went. The Nation was before Rock. Before right. Rock had that big, you know, the Nation was right. Kind of while Steve was fucking with Brett and all that shit.
Maivia.
Steve, fucking help me out here.
But I wanted to know if you did you see the potential? Because a lot of, you know, people weren't giving him a chance. But I always wonder, like, what the rest of the locker room sees. If you're stuck in a shitty gimmick or just something's not working and you're not being yourself, you don't find your footing, you haven't absorbed yourself into the character, and you're lucky enough to get a second chance.
It's pretty hard to fucking, like, when they fucking put that, when I opened that box and saw that Oz gimmick, holy fuck. I was like, and then I picked the hat up, and it's a dunce hat. But not only is it a dunce hat, but it's got an old man's, like, $83 buy at the fucking horror show fucking rubber mask on it. It's like, oh my God. Like, how does that get over? And that's what we're talking about right there. That's what WCW, when they fucking went, like, they didn't have a problem painting the backdrop to the fucking castle. There's no castle in Oz, but that's all right. And they can dress up everybody and, you know, Tin Man and all this shit. They can do that. But you can't get the main fucking cat that's doing this whole thing. The reason that we're all dressed up as Dorothy and everybody else. You can't make that motherfucker look. Jesus. Well, I mean, you would think they would prosthetically do something or put some kind of a. Fucking, you could have put the Green Goblin's fucking mask on me. At least that would have been fucking badass. Not knowing that, at least I could have got away with doing that fucking gimmick for the time I did. Nobody knew it, for sure it was me in there.
But how many times as a booker do you have somebody come up to you who's not over going, man, I just need a different gimmick. I just need, you know, it's not right. Just need something else. And you're like,
well, if they're fucking, if they're like 6'10", 320 pounds, probably not that often.
No, but like,
no, that's a fucking, no, there's a big difference. If I was fucking the booker and there was a fucking 6'10 guy that came up to me that was athletic and said, hey, man, I'm not fucking feeling this.
But not the, I mean, the Oz thing, I think anyone would look at that and go, yeah, all right, we'll try something else. But I, so many times, guys using an excuse, and you're like, oh, man, just not right. I'm just thinking about Rocky Maivia's early run. You really have to believe in somebody to go, yeah, let him stick around.
Fuck, are they pushing?
Not working. Crowds, you know, turning against this. Let's have him find something else. Let's have him find himself. Let's change it a little bit. You got to commit to somebody. You got to really believe in somebody to do that.
When you, yeah, but when you, number one, he was his bloodline, man. And off and Seika were still fucking very fucking involved,
mm-hmm.
especially off. So it was like they were gonna, he was gonna land on his feet. Number one, because it was in him. You know, it's just that he naturally is what he is.
So, like, when you see a Solo Sikoa, right? Like, guy, he's got a bloodline.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it just depends
on
how.
Let him try and get over.
I think it's not when you see him, but how you see him. If you were to say, you know, say, like, you had Roman Reigns and Rock, and they were standing looking at the hard camera, and they were to separate, and then he would slide in, and that's how you saw
stands,
him.
Yeah.
You might, in the comparison, nothing against his character or him as a worker or anything else.
No.
But just in stature, there might have been you might, I don't know, have some small bit of a letdown over the other two.
Or like maybe you've had Rock in the ring doing a promo and the promise of possibly Rock facing Seth Rollins or Roman Reigns facing Seth Rollins, and it's Solo who goes, no, guys, you guys step aside.
I got this.
It's me tonight.
Because when it comes down to it, it wasn't like it was the fucking biggest fucking cash gate in the history of fucking Raw.
It indeed was.
Oh, was it? Fuck. Okay.
It was.
My bet.
And
I would have thought you'd have paid that off. I guess the beating at the end did.
There was a bit of a schmoz.
I could hear Hulk after fucking Cody took the fucking third fucking belt shot. I could hear Hulk saying, "Brother, we already got their fucking money. Philly's fucking sold out."
Yeah, both nights sold out. Ease up on the fucking belt there. But
maybe, you know, they're blurring the lines. Maybe, you know, that'll welt up and turn black and blue, and he'll be able to pull up his shirt at a press conference. Yeah, this ain't gonna fucking. This is, you know, I might have something to use there.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Who else was commenting on last week? So B. Shays Green. Nash sitting on the porch in a rocking chair, cradling a 12-gauge, as the well-wisher walks up his lawn to thank him for his service. Chambers a shell. Get off my lawn. Eastwood style.
Like I said, man, that fucking movie came out. I said, wow, I didn't know I was... Besides, the only thing I didn't have in common with the character was I wasn't a racist.
But the sentiment, the existence is
fuck, man, I am.
Gregory Krug, go ahead.
I had to go get some fiber today.
Are you regular?
Yeah, because I think this product has a lot to do with it. It's fucking hard to get 40 grams of fiber a day. So.
But you were getting your fiber.
Yes, I was. I got to drive all the, there's nothing beats that. I got to drive to a vitamin shop that's fucking shit. It's like all the way to the racetrack. So I got to drive all the way from my end of the beach all the way to the racetrack. and it was fucking just pouring today at the tail end of that shit that fucked up everybody at the tornadoes and shit.
Yeah, we're having cold rain. WrestleMania was cold. Gregory Krug, many years ago, I started working at a retail store. One of my coworkers there was absolutely horrible with customers and coworkers, commenting on women's bodies, making fun of people's appearances, and just ignoring people if he was in a bad mood. Thankfully, he was eventually fired for his inappropriate comments. A month or so later, I went to the local Walmart to discover he was hired as the door greeter there. That is Walmart in a nutshell, he says. Gregory, playing off of your Walmart visit last week that you shared with us.
It was interesting.
It's an experience, you know.
Not something I need to do again.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Big O' Garland, love the old Mustang too, Nash. But Nash Ramblers are more you, baby. A Rambler. What are we talking about?
That's an old car.
Is it you?
No.
You were never a fan of the Rambler?
No.
Okay.
Cadillac guy in Detroit.
OIF vet.
You show me any fucking Cadillac from 30 on that's meant, I'll drive the fuck out of it.
Let me ask you a question then. The Cadillac has been such an iconic visual, right? You can spot a Cadillac, a classic Cadillac. Then when did they switch to the sleek model? Was it the CTS? I guess I don't know.
When they became not Cadillac?
I was going to say, it didn't seem to me.
Well, Fisher Body closed down.
So what is that now?
Fisher Body was off of 75. That's where the Fisher Body is where the Fleetwoods were made, which was the big Broham, the fucking.
Mm-hmm. But this is a design thing, right?
It's I thought when we did like the bulk of our traveling, like from 90 to 2002, like those 12 years, that Cadillac DTS, whatever you wanted to call it, that big Cadillac sedan with that North Star engine. That motherfucker, man. That was a great 4-man car. Mm. Better 3-man car. But that was, and for me and Scott, when we traveled, like, as the outsiders, if Pac wasn't with us, we just rolled those things, man. That was just.
You'd rent them in each city?
Yeah.
You put in a specific request for the.
Oh, it was done by the company.
Oh, so that was one of the things in your agreement needed.
Yeah, we got first class air, luxury rental cars, and 4-star hotels with restaurants in the hotels. Mm-hmm. Like had a room service.
Room service, yeah.
Yeah. We had to get, be able to get our bucket of Coronas.
Gotcha. OIF vet, I remember seeing the documentary about the Secret Service guy shooting him. It's plausible considering the x-ray and angle of entry. The FBI covered it up so they wouldn't lose credibility. Now, that doesn't mean Oswald wasn't a Russian plant and did try that day to shoot him. He was a shit shot with a shit rifle. If he would have spent a little money and got a Mauser, it would have only taken one. Now, you're a gun guy. You agree with this? As far as the hardware?
I don't know. I've never fucking sat propped on two fucking small boxes in a sixth story of a fucking building before trying to blow the fucking president's head off. So I don't know fucking exactly what my feelings would be. Fuck, man. It's... Think about that. Think about looking down that fucking scope and waiting for that fucking dude's head to get in the fucking range.
No. Yeah, that's rough.
And then fucking and putting it through his back, and then supposedly, as they say, the second one, you know, putting it, then missing all within like 6.9 seconds, getting off three rounds, two of them hitting the fucking, moving at 8 miles an hour, two of them hitting the fucking intended target. And you're a fucking shit shot in the fuck from the service, but you're an operative.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm working on a book for the last 6 years that covers a little bit of this.
Yeah, I just, you know, it's, I'm sorry that I brought it, I actually peeled that open in my mind, because I just, you know, that's one of those things where you're just like, you know, until we take care of this, everything after it is fucked up. Like, that would be one of the things. You take care of this, you fucking let that fucking shit get out. Like, whoever, if I would run on that. You know what? Everybody
else. That would be your platform for election. That would be
my platform. And I am going to fucking make available on fucking, government.com, .net, .gov, the unredacted actual CIA documentation on the Kennedy.
See, Trump promised this, right? And it doesn't happen. Then he takes a bunch of shit and he puts it in the toilet at Mar-a-Lago. I was hoping that box would have been the JFK files that were promised that he would have then disseminated, having taken them from the White House. But alas, no, it's all still a mystery.
Yeah.
Jack.
Wrapped into an enigma.
Jack Panaccio or Panaccio. We need more conspiracy talk with Big Kev. I loved it. Big hit last week's show, Kev.
Gotta tell you. Anytime anybody wants to talk about World Trade Center 7, I'm the guy.
Oh, he's ready. Just send him your phone number so he can text you
the pictures I get
at 6 in the morning of buildings falling and people jumping off them.
No, there's nobody.
No, there's nobody jumping.
It's just buildings free falling with Tom Petty's fucking in the background singing Free Falling.
She's a good girl. Bronx PC Tech, love the JFK talk. You guys should do more conspiracy theory shows.
Crazy about Elvis.
Big, big hit, Kev. Now, let me ask you, Kevin. How many people can say that they have
Ventura Boulevard?
Have something perfect below the waist? We can, right? Because everyone, this is the perfect gene. I just want to show you. Not gonna go 11 soft on everyone here today, but the fit of the perfect gene. What makes this good? Why is this different? Why am I standing up? I can wear a skinny jean again, Kev. Proud of it. This came at the right time after having lost.
So you went with the fucking pounds. Billy Joel edition, huh?
I went with the I think it's called Joker Blue.
They'll go change it. I went with the dark. I went dark denim.
You know, offices today are doing like jeans on casual days. The jean isn't what the jean used to be. Denim is the shit, you know? And if you're tired of the rough, like the rigid jeans that crush your ball bag, or maybe you go the other way, you're wearing these big baggy things, you look ridiculous is what you look, right? So, or just get out of the sweats. You know, you're laying around the house in sweats all day. These jeans function like anything you want them to be. It's a special denim fabric that's super soft. It has the perfect amount of stretch. Okay, it's not like tights, but it's the perfect amount of stretch. You can squat, you can do yoga in these friggin' things. Okay, I'm not kidding. Or just sit around all day in them. Just, you're never gonna want to take them off.
I'm looking forward to traveling in these bad boys.
They would be perfect for the plane, the airport. Yeah, I usually err on like the side of sweats, but since I have found the perfect jean, this is what I'll be using. They're 6 fits, okay? They go from skinny to thick. They have waists from 26 to 50, lengths from 26 to 38. You pick the color, you pick the cut. And then look at all the colors they have there. If you're watching, go right down the line there. You can click all of them. You'll see on the site an example of them. I, of course, want the Joker blue. I think I'm going to order a dark pair too, Kev. I want they have like a faded black that I like that I'm going to go with next. Guys, if you want to experience the perfect jean, and I'm not kidding, this is the perfect jean. For a limited time, Kevin has arranged for you to get 15% off your first order plus free shipping at theperfectjean.nyc. Okay. Or just Google the perfect jean and use code KLIQ15. KLIQ15. That's theperfectjean.nyc/click15. And you will get your 15% off. All right. My personal experience is not unique. Every guy that tries these feels the same way. It is the revolution in denim, guys. You know, they don't stop there, though. They do have T-shirts. They've revolutionized the T-shirt world, too. They've got the perfect tee, which has just enough stretch to hide a little bit of beer belly if you have that going on. Come on, we're guys. It happens, you know. They always have free shipping, exchanges, and returns, so you have peace of mind knowing that your order is completely risk-free. Guys, go on, do this, okay? It's finally time to stop crushing your balls in uncomfortable jeans by going to theperfectjean.nyc. Our listeners get 15% off your first order, plus free shipping, free returns, free exchanges when you use the code KLIQ15 at checkout. That's 15% off for new customers at theperfectjean.nyc with promo code KLIQ15. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. And I'm going to read it right from the copy. Fuck your khakis. Get the perfect jean.
Boom.
Thank you, perfect jean. Not playing around. They are. And let them know we sent you. It's important.
Loves Elvis.
Crazy about Elvis. join us here. We have everybody every week in the live audience. That's clickthistv.com. Join us for our tapings. And
in America too.
We get a lot of requests for Nash singing. We haven't had it in a few weeks.
We had the Real Mania this weekend, Kev. And
I gotta say that I dig the NFL/NBA type opening package where everybody's getting out of the car, getting their bags, not acknowledging the camera, just kind of going into the arena. Reminds me of like the NBA playoff games I used to see and stuff, guys getting off the bus. And even the NCAA did that.
The only difference is, and if it's a home game, of course, you know, the guys have got their own rides. But if it's the away team, which everybody is, you know, nobody's a home player in Philadelphia. It's just that everybody gets off their own bus.
Except L.A. Knight drove from wherever he was the night before in a
slim gym car with no tent windows.
Right.
So he's just
stuck.
Surprised it wasn't like the Pied Pipe. People following him and to get a little snap into that meat.
Were you surprised that they opened with Trips coming down to the ring?
No. No.
I was. I liked it. But when they hit the music, I kind of popped a little bitch-like when Motorhead hit. And I was like, fuck this guy. And it was, I knew exactly why they did it. And he left no doubt when he took the microphone and basically just said, I'll paraphrase, this isn't Vince's company anymore. Enjoy the show. And then we were off to the races. So you thought you could kind of see that coming?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that's, you know, it's wasn't like Vince didn't fucking end around Paul. You know, when Paul had that fucking heart issue and everything else, and they fucking, you know, Paul was, by the time they were fucking diagnosing what was wrong with Paul, they were tearing apart at NXT.
While Paul was out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, why Paul was in the emergency room.
That's what I mean. Yeah, when he wasn't like working.
30 seconds into it, you know, him and fucking Bucktooth and fucking Kevin Dunn were.
I got this.
So, yeah, I think I'd go come out in front of 75,000 people and say, yeah, this is fucking.
But that's personal. Personal stuff aside, I think business-wise, it was important to let viewers, shareholders know.
Anybody that's watched the free fucking show for the last several months on the road to WrestleMania realizes, man, that this, you know, I've never seen anything like this before.
Hmm.
So, I mean, fucking the program should the roof.
Yeah. A lot of, I know. I mean,
how many Endeavor plants do you think were in the crowd, or how many?
Well, there were some that made sense, and then some that were probably asked to come, that appeared on camera. Some making return appearances, obviously, like Snoop and stuff has done stuff for them before.
Oh yeah, Snoop's on the stuff. I love Snoop's commentating in the street fight.
What commentating?
What are you going to use that? Look, Dave, what? He's just talking.
He's along for the ride.
They beat the fuck out of Bobby Ashley with those kendo sticks. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, man, this does not fucking feel fucking kosher to me. Three white guys beating the fuck out of black dude with kendo sticks.
I was watching a movie of the week, circa 1978. Alex Haley anywhere? Mm. But no, it's and they seemed a little. We'll cover that. We'll get to that match. I kind of want to go through both nights, Saturday's first, and then last night.
Yeah, there's something. Let's just cover the highlights. There's, you know, some things.
Yeah, there's some stuff that doesn't really. And some matches I really didn't have much to say. But you stop me if you'd like to riff. First thing, an overall note that I noticed, and I have to jog my memory. I don't watch all the pay-per-views all year, which is to say I watch a couple. There was no talking. There were no interviews. There was nothing behind the curtain in Gorilla. There was one with Heyman in last night and Sundays.
Yeah, everything was packages.
And in ring, no live talking.
Yeah, no, it had more of an NFL.
Exactly. I was going to say, this is a sporting event now. Yeah. Starting to feel like more than sports entertainment. So that stood out to me. All right, the first match on Saturday was... first of all, another general note before we get into the specific matches. Can you go, please, down to the Performance Center and do a punch clinic? Just punches. No boots.
See, I threw forearms.
Tell them to throw anything that might look like it connected. Ooh. General note. Am I wrong?
I saw a lot of really, really bad punches. But you know what? I'm going to say something. Kevin Dunn, when he used to be in that fucking truck, would fucking pull on every fucking punch. He'd pull out of it and pick up another angle.
Mm.
So that's one thing, you know, that just is the difference. And I would rather. Orton didn't seem to have a problem throwing a punch. You know, there's guys out there that you know, that can throw punches. So,
no, there's a handful, but I just saw a lot of weak punches for 2 days.
Then again, though, I've never worked in a match in front of 80,000 people, and 97% of them were in some kind of a park. So I don't know exactly what I know what it feels like when I fucking walk outside with my shorts on and no shirt, and it feels like 53 degrees at the beach, and I take the fucking recycle out, and I gotta walk, you know, 70 feet to the fucking street and put the recycle out, and I think, fuck, it's cold as fuck. You didn't see anybody last night or tonight. Like, nobody wants to take their fucking gear off, like, two ahead of time.
Right. Get under the heaters first. I saw they had those heaters under the lights there.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And they made no secret. They kept showing that little in the little corner lower third graphic there about the temperature, covering it as if it were the frozen tundra in Lambeau.
I would have had Roker as a special guest.
Oh, just cut to him for the forecast every once in a while. Yeah. So the first match on Saturday was Rhea and Becky.
That was one of the best matches of the weekend.
Yeah, I was pretty happy with that. That got a little check from mine. And I like that on the pay-per-view, the pacing of the matches, Kevin, they could take their time. I saw a lot more storytelling this weekend than I had, Jesus, in however many Raws I watched. And I think it's just because they have the luxury of going 20 minutes.
Right.
As opposed to having to jam it all in between commercials.
I thought that over delivered to me. I really enjoyed that match.
And they told the arm story the whole time. They were pretty, and she was pretty consistent with it too.
And protecting the thing is, you know, I mean, it's they had Becky working against Nia, and it was like. She was like pushing her around, and it was like where Becky in this, you know, in this scenario, in this storyline, she was being cunning. She was using her ability and not trying to go strength for strength with Rhea. Yeah. So, I mean, it just made so much more sense where, you know, we're fucking Becky threw fucking Jax through the table that couple of Raws ago. I'm just like, come on.
Right.
You know.
Kind of dig the emo hotness of Rhea. There's something kind of hot about it. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's
not really my type, but I don't know. She's working it.
She's a very attractive woman.
I think so. Especially there,
I don't know where the eyes with that whole thing was.
Well, they both kind of had it too, which
right.
Was kind of weird. I would have said yes, sure. You know you.
I'm not quite sure what I might. That's what I say. Like sometimes I'm like I'm 64. Maybe that's something these kids are doing nowadays.
I don't know. Not mine. We went to the six pack ladder match after that.
Tough to work a ladder anyway, and then the three ladders and all the tag teams.
I think the ones like that, the one that Edge, Christian, Hardys, and Dudley's had, I think that's kind of, you know, I mean, just if you look at that alone, it just, I mean, does anything say Cirque du Soleil quite like that photograph?
Yeah, it's total Cirque du Soleil.
You know.
And the wide shot with all those bodies, and they all kind of powdered right away. So, you know what it reminded me of? When they went to the wide shot, it looked like the scene in Creepshow. When the roaches are all over E.G. Marshall's apartment, I didn't know where the fuck to look. What was going on? They were all kind of doing the same shit, but just all over the place. It was kind of chaotic.
I thought it was kind of cool though that you know, I mean that Miz and Truth got the straps out of the deal.
So. Do you think that Grayson Walker and Austin Theory could do the old Killer Bees deal where? But without the masks, where Brunzel and Blair used to go outside the ring, slip the masks on, and then they would switch who was in the ring because the ref wouldn't be able to tell. Those two fucking guys look so much alike. They could do that shit just without the masks, just flip-flop. Ref would never know.
Yeah, Theory's good.
Man. Waller, right? What did I say, Walker? I'm not used to working at this hour.
Oh, that's a lot of fuck, man. That's both rosters.
I did pop for the ladder airplane spin though, and the Terry Funk ECW bump on the ladder was pretty fun too. So where did we go after that? Dominic and Santos versus Rey and Andrade. Was after that. That was the.
I of course would have, you know, Ray's got, you know, Ray's getting towards the end of his career, and I just hate to have anything just kind of get in Ray's way of seeing more of him in the ring. You know, it's. And I didn't get a chance to watch a lot of this coming in. You know, it was kind of like.
I did pop for the Jason Kelsey and Lane Johnson run-in.
Yeah.
Eagles tie-in there. It was fun. They definitely acknowledged the city all weekend in various forms. And the great Pat McAfee call when those two ripped their shirts off in the ring among all the luchas. And he said there's a lot of milky meat in the ring right now, which I have to pop for. Jimmy and Jey Uso got in and did their thing after that.
Kind of, I mean, they've, I think this story should be done by now.
Yeah, it's been a year, right?
Yeah, I know it's, maybe it's just me, but I just never get the brothers fighting. Yeah, I fought with my brother, like you have like a 15 second throw a couple of punches, you know, in the garage at each other, and you're done. It's like it's not a blood feud. I just have a hard time, you know, the Steiners. It didn't work. It never works. I've never seen a brother split up that works.
You got me thinking. Owen and Brett.
If you look at the biggest pop of the night in their match was when he offered his hand.
Right.
So maybe it is.
Yeah. That's true.
You know, that's just like, I mean, that's what they want. They want them to, they don't want to see, nobody wants to see dysfunction.
Mm-hmm. We had the women's tag after that. The six women's tag.
I called Jade a fucking star.
Yes, you did. Right here, you did.
I mean, when the first time I saw her on AEW, and I was just like, got a chance, we DM'd back and forth, and I'd tell her, like, you know, do this, do that. I'm just like, when it's time for her to go, I said, now just listen.
Hmm.
I think I read something, one of the reports that says that a star was born again.
Right.
I mean, she just looks like she should be in the fucking Marvel Universe.
Mm-hmm.
Bianca's fucking super talented too, man.
Yeah, the women's action, for the most part, over these last 2 days was pretty good.
Yeah, that whole... I don't always feel that way on Raw. All six of those girls, women, go.
Yeah. Sami Zayn and Gunther were in the ring after that.
I'm telling you right now, we called it when he fucking said, fucking look in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Gunther came back. He said, look in my eyes. It was it. Fucking baited him in.
We named a whole damn episode, didn't we?
Yep.
It's competing with Joe Biden for the
lowest.
But I like Gunther.
Did you realize that he lost on his 666th day that he was holding the belt?
No.
Fucking the mark of the beast.
I was going to say, Damien, the Omen.
Yeah, so I don't know. Illuminati fucking sneak there somewhere. So.
I did see, well, there's the a progression on Gunther's physique over the years. I definitely improved the ring gear, certainly, from the early days.
Pick three colors that don't go together and make me a singlet. Okay.
He might have been a heel. Definitely would have elicited
Can you make my hair look like when Oriole tries to dye their shit blonde?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Do you have anything in a dog piss, please? Maybe a Doberman urine? Is that what it's called?
Fuck.
But I like Gunther. Keep him off the top rope. Not a fan of the splash. Something happened. The locked body. We got to loosen up a little, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's a
no reason for it. He's more of a grappler.
A grappler, exactly. The whole European style. But everyone went to the top rope this week, yeah. Didn't they? In the category of things done too much, maybe.
Yeah.
Main event was, of course, Rock and Roman, Cody and Seth. This was the
how long did that thing go?
An hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew it was a comparison with the time my wife took to do her hip surgery. Because I was waiting for her in recovery. It seemed like I could have watched that match.
Yeah. So I'm getting the breakdown here. It was actually, the entrances were 15 minutes of the hour, so.
Doesn't matter, man. It's still fucking, you're still sitting there.
Yeah, for sure. But I thought they used The Rock perfectly.
I'm just, it amazes me, like, Dwayne's 50, he's at least 50. But, like, the amount of back, trap, upper back, like his thickness, like you can just tell the muscle maturity of somebody that has been pounding. Like that's not a guy that takes a day off from the gym.
Yeah, for sure.
Where Roman looked much smaller than I remember him. Like everybody kind of looked like Seth, Cody, and Roman all look like they could immediately do fucking some Abercrombie work.
Right. But, the spitting of the drink, that happened a few times over the last couple of days. And I think Rock did it more than once. I think it's a good demeaning thing, but I don't think you should sell it.
No, not like it's fucking acid.
Yes.
I think that, you know what I really think? The reason that Rock was doing that, he would pour some on his head, then he would spit it on the guy. I personally think that it was so fucking cold and they were out away from, they were in the crowd. Mm-hmm. They weren't underneath it. So it was almost like one of those things like I do the cold plunges. I can take anything. I'm the fucking rock and I'm going to pour some water on you just to fuck with you.
Right.
So
yeah,
I might be wrong.
Don't sell it though.
No.
But yeah, so I mean, I agree. Rock looked great, and
it's really hard when they, you know, they go into to that length of everybody's offense and finishes, and you know, and then turn around and have basically half that match, you know, tonight. It's just like Roman tackled Seth. And the tag, Cody tackled Roman through the fucking barricade tonight.
Right. I'm going to mention that the reuse of the barricade spot. It's like
Roman cut himself off both times on the post.
Right.
Went through and it went through the second, third.
And this is the problem, I think, with the two nights of WrestleMania. This is when you would do something around the loop. Before, when you're working with somebody that you know you're going to work at WrestleMania or Royal Rumble or whatever, and they have you work with them a few times on spot shows, right, on house shows, that's what this is, right? You're finding things that look good for both of you, and you do it in Omaha and then maybe in Chicago and then pay-per-views in Miami. You're like, yeah, barricade spot was great. Let's do this.
We would work. You would always work. The guy that you were going to work on the pay-per-view, you would have worked him the 30 days prior to the pay. Like, by the time the pay-per-view was coming, you'd have those 30 days out, you'd have another guy on the road, but you'd already fucking have your shit down.
Exactly. That's the thing. Like, yeah, you know what you two your guys do down. Well. Yeah. And I felt like that's what I was watching. I was watching the spot show and then the pay-per-view Saturday and Sunday.
But, you know, then you look at it, and somebody told me that the average price of a ticket was $4,000.
And on the aftermarket, maybe. Not
yeah, that's
the,
what I mean,
the
aftermarket.
Main sale, yeah. Oh, so, yeah, I can see that.
And they did 150,000 people.
Right.
So 150,000 people. Even if that's fucking $500 a ticket, some fucking cash.
Oh my God, absolutely. The success of the event, is that's done before anything gets in the ring. We already got their money, brother. We mentioned that the other day.
That's what my wife was, because my wife watched it with me. She was just like, so they electronically change sponsors for each fucking segment. I'm like, so I'm wondering if Paul, who gets paid $15 million over 3 years, if part of that deal is he gets to put Prime on the, like, is that subtracted from his deal?
How's that? Is it subtracted from his pay?
Well, because he's got to pay for the advertising. You don't get free advertising on WrestleMania. Nobody else does.
No, Prime's paying.
Right. Mm-hmm. So Prime is owned by Paul.
Oh, wait. Prime?
Prime Energy Drink is owned by Paul.
I didn't even know this.
By Logan Paul.
Oh, Logan Paul. You're saying Paul, and I'm thinking
no, LeVette. I'm saying Logan Paul.
What the fuck are you talking about?
They did $1.2 billion in sales last year.
Right? Yes, I heard that. So, no, I mean, that would come out of his pay to appear there is his personal, and then his company writes a check for the advertising.
But I'm just saying, though, it's, you know, it's a...
You probably get a favorable
it's
rate.
A completely, that's what I'm saying, though, man. It's just like, you're talking about so many revenue streams now that they were just so against. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah. It looks like
so. Steve just put up here WrestleMania 40 sold more than 90,000 tickets when it went on sale August 18th, breaking the previous record gate of 21.5 million set at WrestleMania 30.
Yeah. Well,
Wesley did want everyone to know that the hydration station at ringside was free.
Something about Rock, though, that I forgot in all these years, and then I remembered watching the match Saturday night. I see him call spots a lot.
He doesn't have hair and shit. I saw Roman calling some with Cody tonight, man, but he fucking, you know.
Yeah, the head down?
You could just tell that but you couldn't see anything because he's got you got to have that mop, man.
Yeah. Or when you grab him, you know, dragging him across. He's too open with it. Fuck the wine.
Do you think he gives a fuck? He's too busy too busy getting bleeped every fucking 4 words.
Oh, my God.
Words.
He's going buck wild with that.
Yeah,
man.
Fuck. It's just, but God, man, it's so refreshing to sit there, you know.
Oh, I hope they go all the way on Netflix when
Roman used Cody's finisher and he goes, that thing sucks, man. You can't beat anybody with that damn finish.
Yeah, they were dropping a few shit bombs, too. I can't remember if it was Cole or Pat, but
Pat always does. Pat was talking about fucking smoking a little green with fucking Snoop. And so I said, man, you know.
I know before one match they were mentioning the smelling herb in the crowd. Headingite. Rock being blown up a couple months ago after Spinebuster was a great example of work. He blew up the internet saying he can't do it. He looked fucking great this weekend. Good high spots in that tag match. Thought it was well done. I mean, it was. I left the peacock event.
I knew
satisfied.
That it would be very, very, very difficult for Roman and Cody to go out there and follow that. And at about 1 o'clock this afternoon, maybe a little bit later, maybe around 3, I got a text from Austin. He said, "You ain't in Philly, are you?" I said, "No, you?" He goes, "Nope."
Oh, so you knew Steve wasn't coming out.
I knew Steve wasn't coming out. That's all. He said, "I think we're the only two." So they called me like, I'm not kidding you, 5 or 6 days out. And I said, man, I said, number one, I said, I really appreciate the offer. I said, well, my wife had hip surgery. I said, secondly, I'm not a fucking volunteer fireman. Like,
what, they wanted you to come out for free?
No, you need to give me a little fucking notice. Like, I just, you know, fuck, man. Hey, man, there's old man Elder's house is on fire.
Ding, 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 ding.
I'll put that yellow light on top of my F-150. I'll be right there. Fuck that, man. Like,
now, I don't know if they said this to you, but would you have been coming out to do something or would you have been there to spectate?
No,
I said in our group chat, I said, Nash has been working us. He's there. The fucking music's going to hit after Taker.
No, because if I was going to do that, I would have done it in Sting's match. Like, I'm not doing anything fucking physical. I'm not fucking doing it. I've got to a point right now, man, where it's like I can train again. I'm happy. Like, my life revolves around that 2 hours I go to the gym. And that's all I need. One of my buddies the other day came over to my house. And he was going on and on about, you have a bucket list? I said, dude, if you've lived a life like me, the bucket's full. I got nothing I need to do, nothing I want to do. I want to do a fucking other. I'd love to do a fucking a film project this summer. I've got two in the works. I pray one of them go. Maybe 10, 12 days shooting, just enough to where it's get to do my art and be around fucking that whole fucking vibe. And you know what it's like, man. It's just a different fucking DNA when you're on set.
It's not this.
No, no.
One move, power bomb. Mark just did the choke slam. Kev, come out. One move, power bomb. Rolls on top. He gets the finish. You're the finish of WrestleMania. One move, jackknife. Do you take it?
Fuck, man. It's 370 yards
from the door, from the locker room,
to get down to the fucking ring to do it. And it's fucking cold as fuck.
Yeah.
I live in Florida, man. Fuck that shit.
Wow. Okay.
Fucking go ahead. Switch for. I mean, I don't see the Final Four fucking playing outdoors, Billy. They're in Arizona with the fucking roof shut. Motherfucker, man.
You could come out in a sweater. You didn't have to work.
Cardigan. Come on, fucking hit somebody with a cardigan on and a fucking.
With the one power. the one where I saw the picture, you, Pat, and Bruce.
Oh, the Coogies back in the day.
Yeah.
Googly, whatever the fuck they were called.
Sunday. The Sunday show opened with Drew and Rollins.
I was surprised.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, I was happy for Drew because, you know, he got that fucking, he got his moment. He was going to be, you know, and then fucking five and a half minutes after that, Damian Priest fucking, you know.
Yeah. You know, we talked a little bit about finishes before we went on the air briefly, and the finish of the match is never the finish any longer. You've got to hit him with your finisher multiple times. There's always the near fall after the first finisher. You know, the Claymore kick was done, you know, multiple times. The art of the finish being the hot moment, the high spot of the match. Is it over?
I thought that Roman did a really good job night two of going for the Superman punch and not landing it and getting beat by something else. And then I think twice he went for the spear and Cody either caught him with a boot or a knee before he got to him. So, I mean, I think that there was, I thought Roman did as good a job as anybody protecting this finish. I remember a long time ago, I was sitting in a car. I was just green as fuck. And I was with Jake. And Jake said, when's the highest you'll ever get the people? I said, fuck, man, when you hit your finish on him. He goes, no, man. The highest you'll ever get them is when you set to give them your finish. And that's the key. They're not, you know, Jake had the DDT, he'd set it, and then the guy would
put him under the arm and then look around, right?
Yeah, and then the guy would hold the fucking rope, and Jake would go down and sell. And that was the whole thing is, you know, and that was always the Japanese way. You know, they'd always go to set the finish, but something would come out of it.
And that's fine. And even like you said, cutting him off, that's fine.
Right. But absolutely.
Savage only went to the top rope for the elbow.
If he was going to fucking beat you.
When it was going to be done.
You weren't going to kick out him. I didn't power bomb. It's like there's that tape of me power bombing Paul, the Giant. And people say, wow, man, you must have hurt your fucking back when you power bombed the Giant. And I'm like, no, I hit him with my finish. I wasn't covering him. So I sold. So I didn't have to have him kick out of my finish.
Exactly. So you protected the finish.
Absolutely.
Okay. Makes sense.
Bubba.
I wish there was more of that. You know, I don't know how to do this and not sound like a dick. Should there be a difference between someone who's a heavyweight champion and like an intercontinental champion or a U.S. champion, or remember the litany of NWA belts, the national champion, the central.
There was
States
a
champion.
Time when I walked into fucking WCW and it was still NWA. It was like there was six man tag, TV title.
Yeah.
TV, the guy that repaired the TV belt. I mean, it was just like, what the fuck?
But Flair never held it. And Harley never held that belt.
No.
and Goldberg never held that belt.
Once it used to be the WWF. The rule was you become the IC champion to become, that was a stepping stone. You never went back.
Mm-hmm.
You never stepped back. Once you had the IC, you know, then it was, you could have the IC several times. I think Scott probably had the damn thing 5 times.
Right.
You know.
But you didn't go backwards. And that's my point, Wesley, that Flair, when Flair was a heavyweight champion, he was in a different category. You were competing against guys, and the title holders were the heavyweight champions. Is Damian Priest is a heavyweight champion now?
He's the workhorse now. He's got Cess belt.
Yeah.
Now,
so it brought that to mind.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Is Seth now back in his Shield gear and out of that fucking, is that, like, that character dead now, or what the fuck?
The masquerade ball scene from Phantom of the Opera is no longer? Yeah, maybe.
What the fuck was that outfit?
Well, I think we're tying into the Mummers Parade, Steve. You're from Philly.
I was thinking more Bob Mackie and Cher.
I dug it. Yeah, it was an homage to the Mummers Parade, which the Mummers floats were held in Viking Hall, which was a giant warehouse, which became ECW Arena when Todd had them move.
God, you're just in love with that ECW shit, aren't you?
It's Philly. It's just Philly. It's relevant. It's relevant today. We may never talk about it again, but certainly today we will.
All right, I'll let it slide.
Let's see. Well, you can thank the Attitude ratings bump.
What's that?
You can credit that to ECW.
Jesus Christ! A lot of money was made. Show.
A lot of money was made.
But nobody watched it.
Everyone watched it that put it into WWE's programming. The important people watched it. All right. Damian Priest cashes
out. We were doing Attitude with baseball bats before WWE ever fucking was doing anything.
Where?
With the NWO. The NWO was before the Attitude era. Fucking that 90, June 96 and fucking Austin.
Oh, yeah. No. I would definitely say
18 months before there was an Attitude
100%
era.
That the NWO, also borrowed from ECW. I have no...
We didn't borrow shit from them.
No argument.
They had the Blue World Order. How the fuck did we borrow from them?
Not Blue World Order.
Yes, Blue World Order.
No, the BWO was there. But
yeah,
who
borrowed from who?
Right, but I'm talking about been on TV since 93. Blue World Order was 96. The product was on TV since 93. Black and white promos for Sandman.
That's just because they had no fucking money.
That's right.
Because they were fucking edgy.
Well, necessity is the mother of invention sometimes.
Like I said,
that brings us to the Philly street fight. Well done, Kevin. Your favorite moment of the night. Could you have put anybody else in there for this? Could you have done anything to make it?
It's got to be the black guys versus the white guys.
It gets the biggest pop in South Philly, that type of matchup. But, all right, yes, so sure, Bubba Ray, who's from New York, by the way.
That fucking dude that from the Street Profits,
Yeah.
The fucking In Shape brother that fucking... did that like you do the Olympic vault where you fucking the horse gimmick. He fucking went over that fucking corner onto those fucking two guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then he fucking, when you said it was a fucking fake table when he hit that splash.
Cardboard.
That motherfucker, man, he got some fucking air.
Yeah.
The table's lid looked very thin. I mean, one broke when a guy just laid on it. They rolled him onto the table and it split. I looked, it was like, the wood was like a quarter of an inch. Wasn't those
like. We do have some fucking pretty decent research on CTE. No reason to be out there on a fucking Brunswick billiard table.
But it's more dangerous if it's because it could break before the impact. I mean, the person's supposed to observe, the table's supposed to break the fall somewhat, but the table had broken when someone was just laid on it. If that happened right before the guy landed and it split like that, it could have gone through his sternum. No garbage pails out there.
There was a garbage pail. Wasn't there a garbage pail somewhere?
Rock did the rubber garbage pail when he was outside the ring. Yeah. But I mean the big metal ones that we referenced.
I don't think you can get. Yeah, I think they're too. Yeah, I think maybe called them on that. And they said, okay, well, let's fucking take that out of the arsenal since we don't want to look like fucking Ace Hardware.
I thought there was more they could do to pay homage to the Philly Street Fight vibe.
I think of a couple of Geno's fucking steaks.
Cheese steaks?
Fucking that hot cheese in your eyes. I'd fucking sell the fuck out of that.
Oh, yeah, just mash it right in there.
Yeah, right? Right?
Just, I would have put the, see what they did with Kevin Owens? I had already written this down, and then Kevin Owens later on came out and they did the ECW logo in the arena and he had it on his shorts and stuff, which I don't know that made sense for his match. But for the Philly Street Fight, I would have done something visually different. Bubba was the ref. I would have put Bill Alfonso in there as the ref or Sandman because he wouldn't have been able to count to three.
Bubba, he said, get the tables. He did the what's up. He was instrumental in several of the. They fucking get the tables was the loudest pop that fucking match got all night.
Mm.
No, that was the right call. Bubba was there.
Paul's New York guys staying employed. So Tommy there also fits into that category. Let's see. What did we have after that? Oh, L.A. Knight. You ever watch him?
Yeah.
LA Knight and AJ Styles. Does everybody just do the same shit in the match? I feel like if you digitized those two guys and you replaced them with CGI of Andrade and Seth or Austin Theory and Sami Zayn or Damian Priest and anybody, but in the exact same match, you wouldn't have noticed anything was amiss.
It's a video game.
It's a video game, and everyone has the same moveset.
Yeah. See, that's why I was always, you know, people gave me a hard time on five moves, but you don't need much more than five moves.
And clearly not.
Especially when nobody else does your shit.
Just miss the variety on the card. Where's Kamala? Where's Kali? Where are the Samoans? Where's Terry Funk? You know, just a visual and stylistic difference. A big guy gone. Match. It's
gone.
Should it be?
It is. It's not what as I have been told by Shawn Michaels, they don't. This is the fucking style. This is the way it is. This is what the fucking people want to watch. And we give them what they want to watch.
I want a big fat fuck out there. Why can't I have that?
I mean, they've got some heavy boys on their roster.
It's just, it's not the variety it used to be. Heyman, yes. Heyman was out there. He would definitely qualify as a
Paul looked really heavy.
Fucking manatee that they put in a suit and pulled out of the tank.
When he was walking to the ring with that, his tie kind of went down and just like, I was sick.
Almost at a full 45-degree angle.
Yeah, like a boner. Brought to you by Blade Show. Yeah,
all right, so we need more of him.
But Otis is big. Those fucking Vikings are big. Is Strowman ever going to come back to wrestle? Is he done? What's his deal?
Now we got to call Meltzer.
Ghostbusters.
Let's see. Logan Paul. Oh, this was the triple threat. Logan Paul, Kevin Owens, and Randy. So now is Randy, like, was strictly mid-card here now?
No.
No.
I loved it when they had the spot out there where they had Logan. Punched him. Then Kevin Owens chopped him. And then fucking Randy looked at him for a second. He fucking threw a forearm into his chest. Like, I don't fucking chop. I'm thinking like, yeah, good for you. Boy. That exactly. A fucking boy. You're the
He's
only
old
mother.
School.
Yeah, like, fuck yeah, Randy. You're my fucking hero. That fucking Paul's an athletic fucker. But he got some fucking serious height on that fucking the frog splash at the end. But
yes.
He did that the Swanton and into a fucking frog splash move. And he's an athletic fucker, man.
Wow, what's
and,
the,
and he's worth 150. If you're worth $150 million, you're gonna go out in 48-degree weather and bounce around. My wife says, what's his net worth? I said, well, you never know this net worth shit. I said, I'll look it up. I looked it up. I went, holy fuck, he's worth $150 million. And she said, I said, number one, I said, we wouldn't be having this conversation because the TV wouldn't be on.
Right.
We wouldn't be watching TV. We wouldn't be watching this program.
The guy in the Prime bottle. I show speed. So I see he pulls the face, the cover off, and he reveals himself. And I see he's about my height, right? So I'm like, okay, this isn't a worker. So, and I know the celebrities they're getting now, right? Who are celebrities today? It's not anybody on TV any longer.
That was a
it's people on TikTok.
Yeah.
Yes. So I call my 11-year-old, and she was in the dining room. I said, Lana, who is this? She walks in, she goes, oh, yeah, I show speed. And she goes back inside. I was like, okay. And so it's clearly, they know the demo. You know, it's not the person on the hot show on NBC anymore. It's not Susan St. James anymore appearing at WrestleMania or Betty White. It's going to be I Show Speed.
He was motherfucking Randy on this thing. He said they had to bleep his ass a couple of times before he got his ass kicked.
Yes.
He motherfucked him. He said something. I'm just like, what the fuck?
And it sucks when you're too small to bust the announce table out and you just take the fucking impact on the top of the table like he did. Oofa.
Yeah, but that's really not a Randy. That wasn't set to go. So because Randy fucking just. Came, Randy stepped off it when he gave me the arc. He didn't. No, that's not really a go through the table type thing.
Anytime you dropped, it helps if that table gives, right? If he dropped you on there, it would have went.
Not that big fucking plywood.
Announce table? The announce table collapsed 50 times in the last 2 days.
If they set it up.
Oh, they have to do. Oh, it's just not always ready.
No.
So there's something that there's a latch or something that they have to trigger before the match or something.
I'm quite sure that none of them will withstand Taker fucking throwing me through it or something like that. But that fucking little guy in that Prime bottle.
That's what I'm saying.
I've taken bigger shits than that.
He took the full table. It'd be interesting to find out how they do that table. Call Paul. All right. So Bailey and Io Sky.
was next.
That was an awkward Bailey entrance.
And yes, the outfit.
As my wife said, the athlete that was working against Bailey was like vocal. Watching Monica Sells fucking play tennis.
Remember her grunt? She made every match
somebody fucking
unwatchable.
Somebody stabbed her eventually, didn't they? They said, you know what, fuck it. Nobody's going to shut her up. I'm going to kill her. It's like, fuck. It was nice to see Bailey get the victory, though, because she's been there a long time. She had the knee problem.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I did think by the time this match was on, so I had watched, I don't know what, 12 matches already, 13 matches over 2 days. So this comes on last night, and I'm saying, is anybody kicking out on one ever again? Every cover.
There were a couple that were twos.
Is a near full. That's what I mean. It's a near finish.
No, not kicking out on three. There were some earlies that kicked out on two. One and then out on two.
Before two.
Yeah, before two. Right. Kicking out before two.
I don't recall seeing
one.
Yeah,
there were several of those, and I put them in my memory bank.
Because they were so rare.
Yeah, pretty much. But it's, you know, it's little tiny things like there was I want to think that Roman powerbombed Cody, and then Roman kind of fell back as he did and just kind of fell towards the corner. And if you're looking at the hard camera, it would be this far corner here. And Roman was the one that gave the impact, like the last impact. And Cody was fucking like moving before Roman was. And I'm thinking to myself, you should not be moving before he does. And on top of that, I was so happy that Charles Robinson got to call the final match. He's a friend of mine. He's been there a long fucking time. He's a great guy. But he knows to fucking stand fucking still, because if you lay there and you put your ear on the fucking mat, you can feel the vibration of like the other guy moving. You know when he's moving. And there's no reason for you to fucking move your head to have to turn to look. That fucking ring, man, did you see those fucking, when Snoop came down and those Philadelphia girls were jumping up and down in that ring? It looked like fucking they went in a bouncy fucking hut.
Hey, I thought there was a little bit of spring there.
And they got off it quick, too. They got off that shot real fucking quick because they said, we don't want people to think this is, because that fucking ring is not fucking that forgiving.
So this is an interesting point. So you can tell. If you're laid out in the corner, you can tell when your opponent is making the move by just feeling them. Okay.
When he's moving, you can feel him. Especially if he's like, as soon as they fucking get to their feet, Jesus, man. I mean, it's just that whole. But right. That's you got to be in tune with what's going on out there.
Then we had the main event. We had Cody and Roman.
That's what I was just talking about.
I'm saying I want to cover the actual.
Oh, we're going to go from
the actual match.
Okay.
So
why exactly? I didn't get the skull, take the skull mask off and then walk to the ring.
On the ramp. To get his wife in the shot? I don't know.
Well, we'll see. I don't know.
But now, of course, because of the finish Saturday night and the fucking package before the match, there was no way Cody wasn't winning the title, right? I mean, this.
Well, that's why I thought they might do it, because there was no fucking way. Number one, it's name a time besides last year where the fucking people left unhappy. And they're just not going to leave the people unhappy two in a row.
There's that. There was the pack. I was hoping that little thing, like, they've led us to this moment. We're in their hands. We could be swerved so easy. Between the package and the finish of the main event Saturday night, would have been a great swerve if they fucking screwed Cody. And he can still get his heat back, especially with all those people out in the ring. Bro, they could have done something to swerve that crowd.
I would have gotten absolute color on Cody. It's Mania, man. You're motherfucking fuck this, fuck that, suck a dick. And you don't get, and Cody doesn't get color.
Right.
I was really expecting when it was Bloodline Rules, I thought for sure, man, that they would come down there and fucking wiener dog him at some point and then like pull away from him and have him busted open.
Mm-hmm. Were you happy with how they did each of the entrances later in the match? Like when...
No.
See, I thought that that was well done. So I got very excited when Solo was there. And then after... Like, you knew Rock was going to be involved, right? So yeah, you expected that.
We talked earlier. It's just like, why doesn't Solo hold his arms... Like, why don't they all come down and fucking beat him up and then hold him the fuck down?
Pile on. Put Heyman on top.
There's no man that could fucking that can kick out of all that. And he only got to worry about his shoulders. It's right. Only 3 fucking seconds.
Yeah.
It's like.
Yeah. There was a lapse in logic. And I thought the exact same thing. After Solo hit him, he goes down. He drags. Roman on him, and then he walked away. I was like, oh.
And then he stood by the rope. Like,
and
why would
some crazy manic moment when he kicked
why
out.
Wouldn't you fucking stand there and he won 2 and he kicked out and then turn and put the boots to him? Because you were standing there when they kicked out.
Then dive on him.
Then put Roman back on him again.
Right.
Then fucking 1-2 and he kicks out. Put the boots to him again. Keep doing that until somebody comes and gets him out of the fucking picture.
Good point. Yeah.
It's, you know, hey, I got your back. Oh, I'm going to throw 2 punches. After that, you're on your own. I thought you had my back. No, I'm going to throw 2 punches.
You're on your own unconscious,
yeah.
By the way. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm leaving you. I'm leaving you. And worse. Worst predicament that
I
we're
found
when,
you.
When, yeah. I'm drunk. I take the wheel. I hit the telephone pole. You don't have a fucking seatbelt on. I leave.
Mm-hmm.
I leave you in the car. Yeah, fuck it, man. Didn't work.
Yeah, Taker came out. That was a great moment. I enjoyed that very much. Seeing Taker out there. Was hoping a little bit for the hat, a little something. Didn't want Biker Taker. Didn't want the beanie Taker. Wanted the...
Oh, I don't think Mark had much of a choice. It was fucking... At that point, it's probably 23.
So he would have been... Mark's, he would have needed to have been dead,
yeah,
too.
Mark's like, yeah, hold my gloves. I'm going to go out and do this spot.
Nick saying that should have finished him with the jackknife. I saw Josh mention that there should have been blood somewhere on the card. I think that there was a little hard way on Saturday from Roman's nose, but yeah, nobody gigged at all.
No giggy.
But
I think it's, I still think that when it comes down to it, the guys are like trimmed down, costuming. It's more about. And I'll tell you one thing: you watch that shit streaming with the commercials, You'll never see fucking that many commercials in your fucking life. I don't know what the fuck they're doing on air when these fucking commercials are airing, but there's 5 minutes of fucking shit after a match.
Yeah, I think they, if you pay for the extra premium package on Peacock, you get no commercials and it's just packages when we're watching one of those 60
seconds. Oh boy, that would have made fucking
up. That would have made a difference for you.
I was happy watching Cranston.
So where do you put it? If you had to grade it, yesterday and Saturday's event. First of all, how do you feel about the 2 days? I didn't ask you. You a fan of the 2 days, or should we? Could have done this in one day, right?
Nah, you can't double your revenue.
Take the business out of it. Take the business.
Nah,
out. It's a business. I get it.
That's exactly what it is.
I understand.
There's a reason why Snoop fucking sat there and gave you tonight's attendance and the combination of the two nights' attendance.
So I'm the CFO, the CEO. I understand, and we need it to be two nights, but then we need to talk about how to make this two different nights or different enough where I don't see the barricade again, and I don't see
repetition
of spots.
You had two of the players that were in the main event transcend to the next night and be in the main event. And it's just...
Yeah, but there was repetition in other people's matches, too. Like it's a lot of stuff we talked about. The announce table was used 45 times.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's only so much fucking... I mean, how many heads bounced off that fucking table? How many people run into those stairs?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. That's what I mean by the eighth hour, which is literally where we were on Sunday.
I don't understand, like when Cross, they had a chair, and then Lashley was hitting him. He hit him three times, and the third time was a decent shot where it bent the chair. It's just like, is there a rule that you have to stop hitting him with the chair? It's like you can't bring a weapon into the ring, and you decide not to use it anymore. They have to fucking do a spot where you go and they fucking kick it and it hits you in your face, and then the referee slides the fucking chair. You don't decide, you know, to stop using a kendo. Like the one guy's kendo stick, he had the fucking white handle left. Perfect. But little did we know, when Roman pushed the table back underneath, that there was five or six fucking perfectly situated more kendo sticks down there.
Right.
So, I mean, there were kendo sticks for days.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going out on a limb here saying that if I'm ever brought back in time and work at WrestleMania, but going to catering, I'm going down to see what's underneath the ring so I can get my shit fucking right.
Exactly. That's what you got to do. You're scouting your match.
Yeah.
Know what's coming.
All the weapons I can use.
Kevin, can we do all tag team matches on Saturday, all singles matches on Sunday? Maybe all tag team matches on Saturday, all single matches with a stip on Sunday.
No.
All cage matches on Sunday. Can we do something to differentiate the 2 days? I felt like one long fever dream that I was seeing a lot of the same stuff from people who look the same. We would have to kick this around. If it was you and me doing this, we would have to.
Number one, you don't have it. The cage would have to end the final.
Fine. Okay, so you do Texas Death, Dog Collar, a Shark Tank match, a Thumbtack match, and a cage.
People don't want to see that shit.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, I mean, like I said, 150,000 people came to watch exactly what they saw. I didn't see people leaving.
Could still make it better. Or maybe I'm just too old.
Could be that.
Could be that. And then, you know what I was thinking as I was complaining about going on the air to myself right now? Those fucking guys have to go do Raw tomorrow.
Yeah, that's why they tried to get out of there at 10:30.
Oh,
you know, this is the perfect example of, because you went out to In-N-Out Burger. That was your first time you went to In-N-Out Burger?
Yeah, in California. Yeah.
All right. So I don't think that there's a better burger joint than In-N-Out. That's, if I had to pick a burger joint to go to, their menu's this big. You know? They got like 6 items on their fucking... And I think that's, I mean, I think WWE right now is just, they've got an incredible product. It's just, there's, it's, all of these things are very similar.
Yes. It's burgers, but for 8 hours.
Yeah.
And my burger was half
good,
hour.
Good fucking burgers.
Good burger.
Good fucking burgers.
Good burger.
You know, I think that's one of the reasons that, you know, that a lot of diehard people still will say that they enjoy the AEW product.
They're the fries.
But to some people, man, like they're the fucking, they're Carl's Jr. So.
How'd we do?
Yeah. I think that's, I would give the I would give it probably a B plus the two nights.
Oh yes, okay, B plus. I think that's fair. I would do the B plus.
I would go B plus.
I would go B plus. Sure.
I just think that, you know, like little things like, when it got dark, the beauty shot. When it showed that whole fucking, the masses, you know, that whole fucking crowd and mm-hmm. the skyline through the, peeking through, it was just like, wow.
Mm-hmm. But, the presentation is consistently A+. 100%. Very enviable production staff they have there. For sure. What did our live audience think? Throw up some grades for us, guys, as people send them to you. Give us a letter grade, and let us know. So I was thinking specifically because the press conference was on after the Josh is at an A-. A- also from Dan. B+ heading, I'm with you heading. I was watching the press conference, and that, I mean, that's going to be another hour, right? So I'm thinking specifically about your friend Paul. Like, do you sleep at all after a WrestleMania? I mean, this has been, they've been putting this together for how long? I'm not even talking about storylines. I'm talking about production, all that shit, advertising, making sure the packages are ready. And just the adrenaline. When it's over, I don't think I'd be able to sleep for a week.
I saw a thing today where, you know, they were in a golf cart. And they were going around the stadium, and they were talking to Paul. And he says, you know, he says, night one was great. He says, now he says, we've got to keep everybody up. You know, got to keep the energy up. Got to, you know, it's just like, because that's, I don't care if you're just the handheld, fucking takes so much out of you to fucking be spot on all night for fucking hours and turn around and go, and we're doing it again.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
You know, it's just people forget all those fucking, the worker ants, man, that fucking, all that people in the truck. I mean, it's Jesus. It's like air traffic control times three. Mm-hmm. And you're doing it, you turn around, you get a couple hours sleep, and you fucking do it again. And
do you think Paul refers to them as the worker ants, too? When he's the worker ants, come on, circle around. We're going to have a little meeting here.
Well, I'm worker bees. I mean, you know, I mean, just your fucking staff.
Staff, yes.
But staff to me is always somebody that doesn't work. Staff is somebody that's got a clipboard and they're standing over getting a paycheck. The worker bees are the motherfuckers that are fucking doing the work.
Who's that over there? I don't know. He's on staff.
Yeah, he's on staff.
He's on staff somewhere. I don't know what department.
He's in PR. Oh, yeah. Well, how much PR has he got to do with a fucking sold-out fucking building, huh?
Vince McMahon's accuser, Janelle Grant, apparently wrote love letters to the ex-CEO after the period in time where the alleged sex abuse happened. And I guess it is verified that it is, that the letters are authentic, right? They were kind of forensically extracted from the computer,
right?
So I guess they're real. And
I don't want me to be graphic or bring this up, but there was one of the more disturbing things that was brought up was the defecation.
In the initial complaint.
The defecation on Janelle. And this letter is 18 months after that incident. So that just,
I think the defense would say, just proves the nature of the relationship that she had initially described in the initial complaint.
And I don't see how you coerce somebody to write a love you, I love you letter.
Well, yeah, her team, Ms. Grant's team, is claiming coerción was the reason.
I guess what's the precedent on that's going to be some kind of a Stockholm theory. I don't know.
I do know, though, that...
Here's a sidebar.
Yes. Judge Sexy.
This love letter, does it in any way affect John Laurinaitis' court case?
Interesting to ponder that.
Yeah, I just... Now where is like... Him kind of turning like it's.
I didn't hear. This could also be, you know, someone in the comments brought up, like, you know how if you go to an attorney, they're going to ask you a battery of questions to prepare themselves for what might come up.
Yeah, like, is there anything out there you can think of that would completely blow your shit out of the water? There's 24 drafts to a letter, a love letter I sent right before Christmas. Boom.
So bearing that in mind, that an attorney probably should have gone through this.
She's well qualified. I've been chastised for my inability to see her worthiness. And how her legal brief was a masterpiece of law. So
it just seems that if I knew this was out there and there's a chance,
it would almost make you seem like you're an ambulance chaser. No, but it would make you seem like you're an ambulance chaser if you were to know this and still push this.
Yeah, or they were just she was blindsided by it, like didn't know. Maybe she wasn't told by
blinded by the light
that it could come up. So we'll
that was
see.
That was from Asbury Park. Do you ever hear that version of that Springsteen does, "Blinded by the Light"?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it not on "Greetings from Asbury Park"?
You know, I'll tell you what, I'm very bad with what's off what
in the
hit me with a
yep. Dom says yes. Dom says yes. So we'll see what happens with that. It's the letter, if to be taken at face value, would suggest a relationship, which I think is what the McMahon camp was always purporting this to be.
I just wanted to make sure. I just didn't see much coverage of this story.
Oh, it certainly didn't get the coverage that the initial charges.
No, it didn't. And I was curious that people that I hope that people out there really want like justice in life.
I think, Kev, what happens, I hate to be a cynic, I think people want their justice. I think people don't want real justice. I think people want in I'm not just specifically talking about this, what they deem for their own personal experiences as justice, kind of projected on other situations.
It's like freedom of speech. I'm absolutely fine with you saying whatever you want to, as long as I'm in total agreement.
In total agreement with it, right?
You know, that's the whole thing. Yet, you know, there's cases where the ACLU has defended the KKK. You know? So, where a Jewish attorney is taken care of and done the work for a neo-Nazi organization,
right?
You know, so I mean, it's just like you know, Themis, the eyes of justice is supposed to be it's supposed to be blinded for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never thought in my life that I would, like, anytime I saw a collective shot of the Supreme Court of the United States of America, that I'd throw up in my mouth. I just never thought that would be. I always just really just, I was raised and just always
to hold it
that,
in esteem, to high esteem.
Yeah, that,
right?
That was like, man, like, yeah, but when it gets to the Supreme Court, now it's like, oh. God, if it gets to the Supreme Court, it's just that's the biggest mistake that, you know, you want to talk about just, you know, stupidity in politics. Like, you know, Obama was as guilty as anybody, man. He let so many of the federal court positions go unfilled. And, man, they fucking, every one of those, when Trump came in, man, he put federalists in all those spots.
It's one of the things that's not talked about enough, but court appointees throughout the country, when somebody has office, when somebody's in office, what's happening to the lower level federal courts in the country? And we're seeing this year, because the election matters are going to these courts. So we're seeing now how important it is, and hopefully that's that spotlights something for future candidates to consider.
Florida had a couple of they're going to the ballot on a 60-40 on both abortion. Women's rights and recreational marijuana. Now my question is this. Why is it 60%? So can we change it around? So in order for Trump to be president, he has to get 60%
to beat the incumbent, to beat the sitting president.
To beat the sitting, you got to get 60% because that's just how we run shit when we want to fuck shit up. But it's right. Still there's still I think in Florida I think 63% of the women. No, I think 63% of the state is for the pro-life, because the Democrats are like 77% for it. Even the Republicans are 53%.
Mm.
So,
you know, if we're still gonna get behind the electoral votes, each state having a certain amount of electoral votes, why have we not move this to Congress? I know the House has a different number. Why are we still having two from each state? How come
when something goes before Congress, we can't have if this is the fair way to run the election, why isn't Congress represented that way? Why is it two from each state? Why don't we weight Congress the same, the Senate, as we do with the electoral votes? If there's merit in the electoral vote, which I do not see any reason for.
No, not anymore.
Not anymore. Why one person's vote in one state would be considered less valuable than a vote in another state was always madness. You know what isn't madness? Blue Chew, Kev. The tap out is sponsored by Blue Chew. We're going to tap out. You can tap it with Blue Chew. Guys, let's talk about sex. Guys, remember the days you were always ready to go, long and strong and down to get the friction on? Well, it's back, and it's because of our friends at BlueChew.com, the unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. Take them anytime, day or night. Just plan ahead. You'll be ready to go when it's time to go. Go to BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. Best part, all done online. All online. No doctor's office. No pharmacy. No awkward conversations waiting in line for your prescription to be filled. You go, you consult, and it's in your mailbox in days in discreet packaging. Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it, do it. Pick the tablet that's right for you and get going. We've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code NASH at checkout. Just pay $5 for shipping and you're in. Month supply for free. BlueChew.com, promo code NASH. What are you waiting for? Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. We thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the Tap Out. Kev, I know you remember the disco era. I don't know if you spent any time in the dance clubs of Detroit.
Disco was more Knoxville College.
Okay, right.
Saturday Night Fever came out my freshman year of college.
So you undoubtedly remember the jams of Casey and the Sunshine Band. But I don't know if you've seen Casey on the stage lately.
I just sent Boogie Shoes to like a bunch of people.
Well, let's take a look.
I didn't send it to you?
I'd have to check. Maybe you did. But
this is, if this is him doing Boogie Shoes, and he's as big as a whale, and he's got two backup. I mean, this is the one I didn't send this.
I don't know if it's Boogie Shoes, but it's this is Let's Get Down Tonight.
Yeah, you're gonna have a hard time. You're gonna have a hard. One of my buddies. I sent him the clip, and I said to him, I said, "What kills me, man, is you know, and you can look at this this picture here. You know that those people like that are close spend some fucking coin." Like, who sits in their house and goes, "Hey, man, Casey and the Sunshine Band is going to be so. Let's get some fuck that, man. Let's get up close."
Right.
Who's that guy? He's the guy with the 6-foot Trump fucking flag in the back of his Tundra.
Well, here's what they were treated to.
Tundra.
This is very much a visual, so for... For any folks who'd like to enjoy. Some spinning happening and just the size of Casey. Now those three turns, he's more purple than Neidhart after the hot tag at this point. Could you be less committed to the dance moves?
He's like 72 years old, isn't he?
Is he really, though?
That's got to be a wig, right?
I was going to say, I don't know what's going on the head, but I hope he kept the receipt.
Yeah, that's way too much to pay for that.
Anytime you want to tap, Kev, I'm good. You're enjoying this.
He's not even singing. No, this is like coming across a fucking really bad wreck. I can't look away. Yeah, you can fucking. Thanks, Casey. Love you, bro.
Now, for comparison, I have a comparison video. For anyone who's not familiar with what we're talking about, here he is, as most people remember him, dancing I'm going to put this around maybe 78, 79.
We're not going to be paying this motherfucker a bunch of money to show this.
Hopefully not, Steve. Do some of your magic. Put us, you put our heads in there to obscure something or something. But he's, that's not him. He's on the end there.
He's the white boy.
The red, yeah. Now, anyone who'd like to contrast this with what we just saw, and I think what the guy in the front row thought he was going to see, perhaps, when he went to the event.
You got to turn this off. This is, I tap on this. Because it's that fucking sad.
It is. It's a moment.
Fucking sad, man. That fucking young, good-looking dude let himself fucking...
But don't come out from behind the keyboard. He didn't have to do the little twirly arms and the spin. The spin was unbelievable. The Neidhart.
It's like the Jerry Lee Lewis movie. It's in him and it's got to get out. Let the boy boogie woogie.
Kev, you know what? We have a finals game in the Florida Man Jersey Guy tournament. The last game. This is the championship game of the 2023-24 season. Of course, here are the two headlines. Steve, bring those up for me when you get a moment. We did the entire March Madness tournament. We parallel the NCAA tournament with our Florida Man versus Jersey Guy tournament. We do the Florida bracket, then we do the entire Jersey bracket. And now Florida and Jersey are meeting for the final. And then we'll have a new one this week as well. Where is it, Steve? Drop those in for me. Let me give you the new one first while we wait for the combatants to take the court. Here are two headlines. One a Florida headline, one a Jersey headline. New one. Man spent $1,000 on fireworks to blow open an ATM. And man put car in cruise control, then stood up through sunroof while speeding.
Because I do live in Florida and I know that there are 1,123 fireworks stands per 100,000 fucking per capita. I'm going to have to go with the Florida man blowing up the ATM with fireworks and the Jersey man out of the sunroof.
See, I thought you were going to say, because I live in Florida and I'm near Speedway, and I see guys sticking their heads through the sunroof, that I was going to go with that for Florida. That was Florida. The sunroof one. See, Jersey.
Is it easy to get fireworks in Jersey?
No, I was just going to tell you, it just became legal within the last 2 years to buy fireworks here. So,
oh, okay.
Finally, we inherit these activities from y'all's states below
us. That's fine. I mean, it's just I didn't know that, Jersey had fireworks. We have a shitload. And not only that, but they sell like the Fathom and some of the other places, Phantom. If you set them off, it looks like you're at a barge at Macy's. I mean, these things are fucking unbelievable.
I don't know if here you can buy the big ass things. You can shoot off.
Those are considered like when you have those, and I mean, they shoot them off every year down on the beach, and they don't police them. They don't afterwards. You don't see me out there with a flashlight, making sure they don't get going into the water and have fuck the Marine life, just, you know, go out there and just be a fucking idiot and blow off fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it every year. And every year I call the sheriffs. I'm like, I call them early in the day. I'm like, you know, you could sit right there in that parking lot and just like take a walk down there. Then one year they just kept doing it, kept doing it. And I called the sheriff. And finally they sent a patrol car. And man, they were, those people came over that, and I was sitting there and I was clapping. They're like, fuck you, Nash. Like, yeah. One guy said something smart to me. I said, yeah, come over on my fucking property.
Read the sign first.
No, just come over on my property, man. I said, that way there. I said, I'm not going to go over and snatch your fucking little raggedy ass off. Come over on my property.
All right, Kev, it's time for the finals. Here we go. The final game, you got to give me the winner here. Representing the Jersey side here is man charged with decapitating 74-year-old mother. He, of course, was singing and laying on the body when discovered. And then the Florida champion was man shoots his mom and daughter after allegedly revealing desire to date his teen daughter.
Still think the daughter, dating your daughter is way creepier than having some kind of a Freudian fucking mental flip out on your mom.
So Florida wins the March Madness.
The most fucked up human of the year award.
Let's give the trophy to the man who shot his mom and daughter after attempting to date the daughter. All right, our friends at Manscaped bringing us this edition. Kev, did you know, on a serious note, one man every hour, every day, is diagnosed with testicular cancer?
Mm.
It's a fact. Testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer amongst men aged 15 to 35. That I didn't know. And April is National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month. And our friends at Manscaped have partnered with the Testicular Cancer Society to help spread awareness for men's health and early cancer detection. So go to manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And as always, you can use the promo code CLICK while you're there, K-L-I-Q, for 20% off your order at manscaped.com. You get your free shipping with that too. Anyone who doesn't know, Manscaped is the leading product for this type of care in your nether region. You can perform simple routine self-checks at home for testicular cancer. And Manscaped products you use every day, like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, will help you get access down there so you can see what's going on or feel what's going
on.
Plus,
you got the lotions and balms and different products that you can rub into your ball sack, and while you're rubbing it into your ball sack, just go look, go through them, and if you feel something that's, if there's more than two of anything down there, you better get fucking to the next case quick.
It makes sense, right? Use these products, trim away, and get access to your boys down there so you can check them.
And if you happen to get a little shot, in the meantime, you sit back and just kind of do a little American Psycho.
Exactly.
Or
a little bit of the Trump.
A little Trumpski.
Double arm action there. The Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra features two interchangeable skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, and then the new foil blade to go smooth and sleek. Dual LED spotlights. You can achieve better visibility now, making every trim more precise and hassle-free. Don't like making a mess? The thing is waterproof. Shave in the shower, in the bath, or in the ocean, for Christ's sake. In addition to providing the right tools and solutions for comfortable and easy grooming, Manscaped is committed to raising awareness and giving support for fighters, survivors, and families impacted by testicular cancer. That's why they will be donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. Help save lives and balls by going to manscaped.com/TCS and sharing their funny educational check yourself video. While you're at it, grab 20% off on us, guys. plus free shipping when you use the code CLICK, K-L-I-Q. Be like a famous American philosopher once said, take care of your mentals, your bulls, and your chickens.
Christ's sake. Thank you, Manscaped, as always. Folks, make sure you...
I actually did. I used my Manscaped beard trimmer
today. The beard trimmer today, huh? You're looking, looking good.
Took it out a little bit.
Well done. Well done. Rough week, Kev, if you're if you've been following overseas strife in the news in Gaza.
Ugh.
We try to touch on that every once in a while, let people know what's going on.
Yeah, the IDF did a precision strike on the ever dangerous World Kitchen crew, and now they're pulling. Basically, the World Kitchen people are pulling out because of the inability for the IDF to tell them that they're going to be able to safely operate, which adds to the famine, which adds to the basic genocide of the Palestinian people, because God knows there's not a better way to die than to starve to death, because that's not too slow. So, but I, in the IDF's defense, I mean, they have this wonderful technology called the Iron Dome, which, you know, stops missiles, but their reasoning for striking these vehicles was it was dark.
I mean, the fact that it was a precision strike, and you saw the footage where the top of the
it was dark. I mean,
I'd hate to think
the World Kitchen was, you know, in touch with them and gave them their, you know, specifics of where they were moving, how they were moving, how many vehicles. You would almost think that they purposely were just to strike the World Kitchen for some I don't know.
It's just horrific if that's strategy.
All I know is the World Kitchen took their all their food that was on barges and ships and went back to Cyprus to reevaluate, along with a lot of other aid groups.
I mean, if your safety can't be guaranteed, it just seems like within the conflict, we went from, when I say we, I mean the spectators of the world, those that don't have to live with the horror of war outside of our doorsteps. We watched the retaliation and the pursuit of Hamas. And then...
Which we have always said was a warranted pursuit. It's just you can't use the Hiroshima theory to Gaza. You know, it's...
Well, just when collateral damage started to exceed, I think, what most people thought was acceptable. And certainly the world community is beginning to. Go ahead.
Did you happen to see the footage of them going through that giant hospital the other day?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just floor after floor, like 25 people that were there that were patients were killed. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I fear that we're getting
we're in a country right now that's worried that, you know, Donald Trump's having rallies, and he has the people that were convicted for the insurrection.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm still
on Easter.
Still on Easter, but. And he's saying these, you know, that they're hostages, and that like all the shit that you hear on a daily basis that's considered our news is such fucking horseshit. Last night, I'm looking at my phone, and it says Taipei. There's a 7.5 magnitude.
Yes.
Earthquake in Taipei, Thailand, which has got, I mean, yeah, but they've got some, I mean, they've got some huge, huge, you know, and I'm thinking like, what is it? Catastrophic? Is there a tsunami? I can't fucking get any news anywhere. I go from one channel to the next channel to, I go to, there's nobody that's got any actual news coverage. So while we're all caught up on this fucking who's going to be president and who's going to fucking be the first one to spend $10 billion to do so.
Yeah. Well, Ask Nash, hashtag Ask Nash, Kevin. People would like your take on some specific things. If you'd like to participate, hashtag Ask Nash is how you do it on your socials. Pinball Wizard says, what would be the background music to your 80s style movie montage of you getting the house ready to take care of your wife? So 80s movie montage. I'm seeing like a Mr. Mom type thing. Fish out of water. Michael Keaton running around getting the house ready. Kevin getting the house ready. Background music. Interesting question.
80s. I think, is it an 80s movie? I'm going with some, I don't know specifically which one, but I'm going to pick one of the songs from Chicago. I'm going to pick a Chicago tune.
Along Comes a Woman, I think, would fit with that.
I know Saturday in the Park wouldn't be it, but...
Nah.
I know that would give it that 80s feel that Peter Carrera feel that.
I'm going with it. Peter Cetera.
Cetera, whatever.
Yeah, I don't need him writing us a letter.
No, I mean, maybe we'll have to pay him.
That's $5. Who's in the audience? Let's get some live audience questions here.
I'm so bad with names.
Ben Lutz. Might be joining us for the first time. I don't remember the name. Hey, Ben, if you are, welcome. Hey, Kev, are you a fan of the late comedian Patrice O'Neill?
I mean, to a degree, but my son was a huge fan of his. T loved him. I think that I actually was drawn more to him because of T's affection for his humor. The same as Norm MacDonald. My son really, I mean, I always liked Norm, but I got such a different appreciation for my son, for Norm MacDonald.
Yeah, I think I remember talking to Tristan about, didn't we went through a little phase on the show, I think, where we were doing the Norm a little bit.
Yeah.
To each other. It must have been when T was with us.
Yeah, just to make him laugh. I used to do it all the time when we were in the car together. So, this fucking guy.
Anything that cadence, which was authentic. I mean, that's how he spoke in life. But he can make almost anything, any story sound hilarious just because of that delivery.
There's certain people. Like, I think Walken's another one of those people that. You know, Walken could read out of the fucking phone book and it would be entertaining.
Yeah, it is a very unique. I did replace, I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about this now, whatever. I did replace Walken for a line in Stepford Wives. You know, every once in a while, you know, they're in a pinch, we're doing the ADR stuff, and the director will be like, no one does a walk-in by any chance. Because, you know, it's, $5,000 to get him to come back. I'm there already.
Right, right.
I see. He says, no one does a walk-in by any chance. I said, what do you need? He goes, go ahead. So it's one line. They're applauding as somebody comes up to give a speech. And he turns to his wife and he goes, this'll be good. And that's so that is me, if you find that.
Nice.
Yeah. Let's see. Anyone else from the audience? Let's get some of our live people active here, for God's sakes. Coming out. Mickey Ray Sinatra. There he is. Put a package in the mail for me, goddammit, he did. I'm thinking of taking a trip to Tijuana for a stem cell in my feet. Do you think it's worth it and have the benefits lasted?
I've went three different times and had it done, and I think it's the culmination of all three of the treatments that I have that have been so productive for me. But I know that just one alone. I don't know what's your problem with your feet are. So, I mean, if it's neuropathy, I would have to know before I could make that decision. Mm. You'd have to tell us what's your.
What about the location? What about?
I felt safe.
Colombia.
I felt safe in Tijuana. It's beautiful that the center where you get the stem cells, you look right out on the ocean. Tijuana's Tijuana. I mean, it's not like there aren't cartel down there, but I think like anything else in life, I went to, I'll butcher it, but.
Carrera, Peter Carrera.
No.
No.
God, it's Mission 19, but there was a restaurant, and they had asked Bourdain if he could eat any place on the West Coast, California. Like, he was just like, if I had my druthers, I would go to, I think it's called Mission 19. I actually put it on my Instagram. There's one of the 350 posts that I put up and I had octopus, and it was unbelievable. But
he has a
plantar fasciitis and heel spurs. Plantar fasciitis, yes.
There you go.
I hope you've got a top of the line orthopedic insole in your shoes, because if not, like, I've got a super high arch, and man, if I don't have the proper orthopedic support on my arch, I got plantar fasciitis. I walked for about 5 hours in Florence, Italy, on that cobblestone, and fuck, man, I woke up the next day, and I had a wedding to go to, and it was. Man, I had plantar fasciitis. I had to put those hard-ass shoes on. I forgot my insoles.
Mm.
I wore fucking a pair of Van slip-ons on the fucking flight.
You did the arch. Shiki would have been proud.
Arch, don't. No arch. Let your arch just fucking collapse.
Speaking of which, Fernum Schnavitz III, curious your thoughts on what happened in Baltimore with the Key Bridge. I used to cross it several times a day in my rig and was surprised how fast it fell.
I mean, I hate to see, like, all I do is look at Instagram, but I do look at Instagram for about an hour and a half a day. And I just like to watch, I just like to watch the reels. And there was a barge identical to the one that took down the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Turkey, and it fucking like rams those giant container cranes.
Mm.
It like goes off and rams and knocks those down. And there's one of the reels is a guy in a car like taking off as these fucking things are fucking fall. It's just, I'm just saying, like, what. There's nobody piloting. Like, that's not, that's a lost art now, is being a captain of a ship.
Any conspiracy theories about how the bridge fell? Anything look suspicious to you?
What was it? They had a picture the other day of underneath of one of the bridges. Might have been the George Washington. How, like, man, that bridge is so fucking, there's like pieces hanging out. And yeah, that fucking George Washington, fucking that bridge is in bad shape.
Is it really? Okay.
Yeah.
The P has written, and he's going to give you an alive or dead. Three names. First, Ron LaFleur, I guess was a baseball player, right?
Yeah. No. Ron LaFleur?
No.
Was Ron LaFleur the Tigers? With the Tigers?
Ron LaFleur.
He was a center fielder, right?
Correct. Detroit Tigers, center fielder. Well done.
Was my brother's favorite player.
Is he alive or dead?
Alive.
You are correct. He is alive. Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney, Boston Celtics. Alive.
Dick Cheney, the vice president.
Oh.
Who were you thinking? There may have been a Dick Cheney on Boston.
Yeah. Wasn't there a Dick Cheney? Look up Dick Cheney, Boston Celtics.
Didn't he sing for Chicago?
I don't know. Look up Dick Cheney for the Celtics.
But Dick Cheney is alive. You're correct. And lastly, Charles Manson.
Dead.
Correct.
You dead can't kill me. I'm already dead.
Live audience. Let's get
Don
a couple.
Cheney. Don Cheney.
Oh,
was
Don Cheney.
It was right. A Celtic. Defensive specialist, Don Cheney. Don Cheney. Cheney, Don.
Don Carrera. Josh Hemme. Driving back to Nebraska now. Is there a strip club on the Wyoming-Colorado border? What should I expect?
There is a strip club.
There is a strip club on the Wyoming-Colorado border. What should I expect for stripper quality and bouncers? Josh Henney, great question.
I don't know, man. I can't think of too many things on the border of any states that
Wyoming. Were you visiting Eric Bischoff by any chance? He's from one of those fucking. He's out there.
Yeah,
there. I mean, Wyoming or something, right?
There's fucking 500,000 people in the whole state of Wyoming. I doubt you're going to get.
Who else? Who else from the
house? It'd be like that. Kaz's 8-Ball Lounge that me and Scott walked into in fucking Cadillac, Michigan. It was fucking during deer season, and all the fucking wives are fucking out there dancing with their pantyhose on and a tea bag. Fucking big knife wounds for where their appendix were. And Jesus. This girl walks up and she goes, "That guy paid me, you know, $10 to dance you, Scott." Goes, "I'll give you $20 to walk the fuck away." I was like, we were drinking. They had actual draft beer by the shell. It was a buck for like a 12-ounce shell of beer. We were drinking drafts. We were wrestling right across the street.
We got Cadillac, Michigan. What's the give me an adjective that might describe Cadillac, Michigan to someone like me who's never been there?
Suburban Utica.
Well done. Know. Haven't been to Utica either. All right, one more. Let's see. Mr. Epic. Well, Sean, think AI will replace voice actors completely? Well, this is all what these contracts negotiations are about now, is about technology replacing people.
I saw something really interesting. I said that if you can live for 5 more years, you can live forever with AI. So.
Yeah. Well, trying to prevent it from happening, but so film actors will be protected, but there'll be video of you plowing a goat from behind in a couple of years if there's public images available of you. That's what I'm more worried, less than on a professional sense. What can happen on a personal sense to people?
yeah, with AI.
And the thing is, too, is if, you know, some giant, here's one, okay, because my mind's, I'm insane, but this just came to my mind out of this conversation. If you, I think I sent you this, since you obviously don't read anything I send you. You
probably, that's not true.
Didn't read this, but if you were given $200 million a year for every year since Christ was born.
I did read this.
You would not have the amount that what company made in profits last year?
It was an oil company, wasn't it?
It was like Exxon or Shell, yeah, or one of them. Yeah. I just thought that was interesting. I'm thinking, yeah, like, oh my God, they must have made like $20.9 billion or some shit.
Click This is a production of Butch and Sundance Media, produced in association with Podcast Heat, created by Tristan Carrera, Kevin Carrera, and Sean Carrera. Producer, Steve Carrera. Graphics by Dominic Carrera. Title sequence and audio edit by Wesley Carrera. Theme song by Dale Carrera. Technical research by Tristan Nash. Copyright 2024, Butch and Sundance Media. Hey, Peter Cetera, you want to do another one?
Yeah, whatever.
Customer service never answers.